Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Lads, we're back. Episode 2. I don't know how we're back again, lads. I don't know how I'm back.
No, Jesus. You've done well. Nice eye as well, so.
Nice eye.
But I'm on you.
Still buzzing after last night. Come on, last night. What a result.
Yeah, brilliant, man.
Eh?
Great performance. Can't ask for any more than that. Away from home.
Yeah.
First away game.
Brilliant.
On the pitch was very, very wobbly as well when we first went out.
I'm dry.
I'm very dry. I mean, I was setting the warm-up up.
Like it dry, do you?
No. It was, but listen, the boys have been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Amazing. And listen, we're not going to get ahead of ourselves 2 games in.
No, of course.
I'm genuinely so proud of them. I feel like greeting every time I speak about them, but they've been amazing. They were last night as well, big man, weren't they? Brave to go on the board at times as well.
Brilliant. Especially because teams know the way we play.
Yeah.
We don't care. We'll take the ball at the back and play. And especially when you've got young boys at 18, 19, 20, making mistakes but keep taking the ball, and that's what the manager wants. So, and they had triggers, to be fair to them, but no, the boys played through in it, and the interchange of the movement, and they couldn't live with us at times.
And Si will let you know if he's not happy if you go along, won't he? He's not going to shy away from that, is he?
Now, Si's an encourager. Aye. It's the gaffer you need to watch.
But can I just say, this is my heading, I need to get it out before.
Go on, mate.
See, when you met Si, and obviously I had said a bit of the podcast, right? I should never have done it. Listen,
Were you going to ask?
Are you just saying that now because I'm sitting here?
I'm just, you know what, though, I had to get out because I know it's going to come up at one point. And hey guys, see did you not give a fuck, or were you like, who the fuck does he think he is?
I don't care what people think about me. I've had it my whole career, so everybody's entitled to their opinion, right? And I know you've said to me now you didn't mean it, but
aye.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion, but if I start listening to everybody's opinion, then it's going to get in my head at some point. I'm going to be knackered.
Were you thinking, though, when I get in, and I'm going to fucking go for him?
No. do you want to know what? Right, so I'm good mates with Ross Millen, Andy Millen's boy, and he played with you at Clyde. And he said to me, don't say nothing to him, just stare at him.
Oh no, did he?
Aye, so
that's the worst thing you can hear.
So when you come up and you're like, brought us me over here, and I just stared at you and I didn't say nothing. And then I walked away and I went, see you at training.
And that was about see you at training. Oh. So I ran out and signed, I'm like, listen, I think I'm just gonna head up the road.
It's all right now, isn't it? Smoothed over.
No, smooth, but did you? I don't want to be bringing tension.
No,
see, on Saturday, I was sure I was what about my cones, ready to set a warm up, and I'm sure I seen you two in the tunnel walking by each other. No, I don't know if that was bad, doing it bad blood, or it was just you didn't see each other.
No.
When he walked through the door, I went, Kirk, how you doing, mate? Nice to meet you. I think we played against each other once.
We had 10 days at Rangers together before I left.
Were we at Rangers at the same time?
Aye, but you were on the OLG most of the time. You were on the training.
Was I on that fucking...
I was on the big air thing. It takes all your weight so you could run.
I was on that every morning for a month.
We're out training and he's at the window in this big air thing. Sweat pissing out of him and everything. You're coming in, he's a hub. 4-4's on that big man. I'm like, it takes all your weight, you're not actually running. He knows it's true, though.
I never shied away from the fact that Ali wanted me at a certain weight, so he put me on that machine at that weight and says, this is the weight I want to get. But it worked because I got down to the weight.
Brilliant, big
man. They put the heating on full blast.
It's fucking like heating on it.
That was even the worst. That was only the start of my day. Fucking on that thing and then out train and then back at the gym, man. Fucking 95 for the first time ever. Tremendous. My coach says, aye, you're getting there. I'd lost about 2 stone. How are you getting there?
Ah, you're getting there, slowly but surely. Now listen, lads, to celebrate the new partnership, who knows wins, are putting a minimum of 10 grand of their money up for grabs. Unbelievable. In our Pick 10 league this week. So all you need to do is download the Who Knows Wins app, sign up and enter the Pick 10.
Ten games, pick, win, lose or draw for each game.
Yes, sir.
The most correct will win the pot.
So you don't have to correctly guess the full 10. If somebody just gets 9...
If someone gets nicked, there's money to be won for the runners up as well.
And the difference is, at Open Goal Broomhill, we want to win everything. But listen, what I like about this is, the runners up also win money.
Yep.
So,
win-win.
Good, innit?
Aye, absolutely. Cut Broadfoot, let's get started properly, mate. Talk us through that spell when Si came to you and spoke about the project here. What sold it to you?
Well, it was a few meetings, to be honest. Yeah. My agent phoned me, and I'm going to be honest, I'll be brutally honest here. And he phoned me and said, "Do you want to go to Broomhill?" I just burst out laughing.
Yeah.
And I says, "What, you being serious? I just got beat in a playoff final to make the Premier League. You want me to go to the Lone League?" And he's like, no, you need to meet him. There's a project here, there's a plan. You'll like it. And I was like, right, fair dues, I'll meet him. I went and met Si. Got Si and Costa. And
yeah.
To be fair, we're there for about 2 hours. It's I think Del paid, actually.
Si's trying to say he's out of pocket.
My agent paid.
See, when you first went there, and did you have in your head, though, there's no way I'm signing here, when you were going to meet Si?
Probably, aye.
Aye.
Because I had full-time offers at Championship, yeah. League One, at that point. And I could have went back to Inverness as well, so... At that point, I was still going to stay full time, and then we got talking, and I liked the way he spoke, and it's the first time I'd met him, and then the project, and I was intrigued. I'm not going to lie, like, why go and, if it'd been disrespectful, go and play with maybe a team, because I was not going back to Inverness, who I think will be up there one or two this year in the Championship. Why go to a team and play middle of the league, bottom half?
Yeah.
Just to see it's a season out at my age. Whereas you've got a project here, we're going to go and win, and that's what we want to do. And that intrigued me. And then into the bargain, it's a journey. It's not just a one-off, like, let's go to the Lowland League. Mm. We've got a plan here to go through the leagues, and he wanted me part of it. And I was intrigued, and the only thing that kind of stopped me after that was you. I'm only joking. No, but... that's where we go, and then...
Aye.
Eventually, we came to an agreement, and I agreed, but we never actually done anything for 2 weeks because Si was away on holiday, I was away on holiday. Yeah. So it took its time, and here we are.
Here you are, and you're still here. You're not giving
still
up just
here.
Yet, and things are going well, Sonny.
Amazing. Honestly, as I said, the boys, I was sitting there last night when the game was going on, I was looking at them out there. It honestly feels like a family. I know that sounds dead cringy, right? I know people turn about that, but it genuinely does feel like a family.
Yeah.
And when I see them out there, see, to be fair, when I look at them and at the pitch, it looks like it feels like 11 in my dad's are playing. Do you know what I mean? If you look at your family, you think it's your boys or your brothers that are playing. It looks like 11 in my dad out there.
They're not a wee bit weird. They know be your sons because you're the coach instead of your dad's.
Paul's obviously troubled upbringing.
It's a lot of podcasts.
The boys have been unbelievable. For the first day they came in, the work they put in, everything Si's asked of them, they're prepared to listen. They take it on board, brilliant. And we couldn't be any happier. But as we said, we know football, and it's 2 games in. Right. So it's still a long, long way to go. And still, listen, there's still a lot of work the way. There's still a lot of improvements to be made, but as I said, they've been brilliant since we've started.
What are you saying, Kev? How's the commentary been?
Well, we missed last night.
I know, it's gone well.
2 foot, maybe 2 foot, right? And he's sitting eating our own sausage this morning.
Got a fake one in this morning, so it's all right. You pay for that role, aye?
Where's my coffee?
What
you want, big man? You tell me an hour before the game last night. You're doing the podcast tomorrow. You want a coffee? What are you drinking, lad?
Did you not get a coffee on this morning?
No, I was meaning yours.
To be fair, I did say, will I get the boys one, the cup one? He went, nah, fuck them.
Could we get? Is there any access we can get to coffees at all?
I don't know. You were the one that made the promises.
I'm a bit tired.
No, listen, on the comp with Saturday, Simon, which I'm appreciative of, that he asked for an honest opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
On what I saw from where I was sitting, and I gave him one, and he says, no, that's a really good analysis. He enjoyed, obviously, the questions afterwards. And it's different. It's something new, but it's great to actually watch players and see what they're doing wrong, and maybe try and give a wee bit of information back to try and help the team, because obviously they have the, like, Slaney's coach, and you've got Derek, the experience of Kirk, Simon's experience. It's a good wee thing to be a part of, you know what I mean? From a different point of view, but no, I think by all accounts last night, having spoke to Slaney, the way that the journey back into the podcast today, he said that last night was much better, kept the ball better, passed it better, a bit more patient, and he said...
The guys coming in though as well, it helps guys coming in there.
It's the same in all teams, like on Saturday had a makeshift holding midfielder in Conroy, because Conroy's normally a fullback. This time Conroy goes back, Fraser comes in, the balance is going to be a wee bit better, and obviously Slaney was saying that sometimes he came too short, Kirk was telling him to stay further up the park, and actually they're trusting each other, so it's good that the things are going well. But like Slaney says, you're two games in, you're not going to get carried away, but it's a great start, there's still loads to do, and we'll see how things go.
I think Saturday as well, some of the boys will be nervous. It's the first game, there was a lot of publicity about
that showed.
And then the second half, we played a wee bit better. But I think the early goal helps last night as well, settles the boys straight down, and then they're confident in the play. But no, definitely.
Kirk, you've played in teams that once you start gaining results and momentum, you then go out with a fear of you're not going to lose today.
Yep.
And that only can happen with results. So Saturday, that nervousness, 72 hours later, an even better performance. Yeah. And then obviously you've got several, is it Bay City Strollers this weekend? Got them this weekend. There's several strollers away. It's another away game, which is what you're wanting. They got off to a good start. Did they beat...
Did they beat Rangers?
So it's another tough... But that's the games you want to come, because it gathers momentum. If you get another good result on Saturday, then you've got to be thinking, right, OK, here we go.
Winning becomes a habit. And losing becomes a habit if you get into that rut as well. So it becomes a habit.
A great start.
Boys become confident. Give me the ball if you're winning. And so boys, all the boys scoring, it was three different scorers last night.
Two games now, the left back scored two games, and I think the foot, James Grant set both of them up, the other, the right back. So that just shows you the football they played, so I know, amazing. But what we'll say is as well, the boys in the team, we're going to get them on as well.
See what they're doing.
The cameras, see if they've got a big bit of balls on them, know what I mean?
Just a reminder, this is what this pod, we could grill you on all your career stuff, cut and get some great stories out of you, but obviously, Open Goal FC podcast, it's about the lower leagues. About the boys in the dressing room. And on that note, what is the group like, Kirk, from your perspective? How are the lads?
Well, to be fair, I've only been there 2 weeks, so it's quite early doors. I'm still getting to know people, and they're still getting to know me. But the sound, there's some characters, I'm not going to lie. But no, last night, obviously we won. This maniac and three other ones have been dancing straight away as if we'd won the cup. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just sitting there like, don't get too high, don't get too low. And they're doing a shuffle in the dressing room, and I'm like, what's going on here? We're two games into the season, as Kev says.
I get so overexcited though, like, I'm either right up there. If you get beat, I'll be fucking screwed on the ground.
We'll not see you for 2 weeks.
No, I'll be back.
But you will need to adapt to that, surely, as the season goes on, won't you?
We can't be stupid on that. It's only 2 games. And probably after the game, it's obviously so rough, so we will be, sometimes we'll be bouncing about and dancing a bit. And it's up for you just to say, listen, relax.
Nah, you need to enjoy the wins.
Aye, but after that, you
calm down. And then, because you know, as you said, it's only 2 games. Aye. We go again Saturday, and all of a sudden, you get beaten Saturday, and then, you go bang. Aye. And it's a reality check. So we need to just keep that level playing field, because we will have lows and we will have highs like last night. So if you keep that, it sees you over the season.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about the level, obviously, going from Inverness and then to the Lowland League, but it's not your first taste of Lowland League football, is it, Auchinleck Talbot, back in the day?
Well, that was junior. That wasn't a junior. That wasn't in the first team. That was probably under 14s.
Was it?
Aye. Yeah. And then I went to Hibs as a youth at 16 when I left school. So, yeah, Auchinleck Talbot are a good club at that level.
Yeah.
You see the amount of trophies they've won. So it's a good upbringing for a small village to win that amount of trophies. But, yeah, hopefully they come up this year and we got them, we don't see them.
You're obviously from that area. Are you an Auchinleck man?
No.
No. Cumnock?
No.
No. It's obviously they two are arrivals, so I'm just curious to see.
Well, I went to Auchinleck Academy, so I would say Auchinleck over Cumnock, but I'm originally from Drongan, so we don't like any of the two of them.
It's just a good
thing.
His loyalties are.
Sorry to be butting in again, but see, when you came through there and you're training there, what were the coaches like for then? to the coaches now in the Lone League?
Well,
very similar.
Well, we did a lot more running. Well, I don't know about the first week when I came here.
Oh, what was I doing, man?
Jesus, 9K pure runs.
First
week, I was put me in with all the wee runners.
Nah, he was like, group, man. It was Cammy. Cammy's the fitness boy. He said, put brothers up with the fitness group.
I'm coming 38 next week and they're putting me in with the wee runners. Testing me in my first day after 9 weeks of being running.
How'd you hold up?
I got in the times.
The running's great though, because it's no like these serious slogs where you're just running.
It's interval training.
Is that level lonely stuff? Is it the sort of characters you people expect, like hard folk down there? Is it tough? Is it a battle, or is there more quality than people realise?
I think there's more quality than people realise. I think it's how teams, managers set it up. If you look at us and you come at us and you would think, they're a good team at pass the ball and all that. It's like, I think most teams have got a set way of playing. Like even Talbot, you look at them, they've got a set way of playing. They'll deny it. It's hard to beat.
Yeah.
Playoff seconds, maybe it gets a stigma about it, but I think there's always you can win a game of football.
Right,
and
yeah.
Who's to say what's right and what's wrong? At the end of the day, who cares how you play if you win 1-0?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point, because there's a lot of emphasis in the modern game about how you play. Every manager's got a different style, and you look at the players and squad that you have. Si's been fortunate that he's been able to start a team from scratch. So he's picked players that will fit his style of play, and they're playing that way.
Yeah.
Had Simon come in to, say, Oaken Gold, Broomhill, were already there. But had they come in and said they had two big strikers who were decent, like Saturday, the big boy Henderson for Spartans, and the number 15 that came on, I think it was McCann or McCall or something.
Yep.
They were decent, tall. Had they been there, had Simon maybe adapted his way of playing, you just don't know, like Kirk says. Play to your strengths. At the end of the day, it's a result-based business. You're not going to climb through these leagues by playing happy football and keeping everybody amused. Oh, that was great football, but we've got to beat. You better get points. Points
at the moment. But won't change.
No, that's... Listen, I know he won't change. He'll adapt within the game at certain points in the season.
Yeah.
But it'll still be the same philosophy.
Fundamentals.
You've had a few fucking hard battles, haven't you, the first two games?
Well,
that boy last night just kept on.
I think he had something against me, to be honest. Just kept laying one on me. I asked him, look, what's your problem? It's only football, it's only football. I'm like, well, kick the ball, pal.
But there will be folk that want it's like the scalp thing, isn't it? They want to get a result over you lads. Like,
it's their cup final, but a lot of people's cup final.
Somebody said to me Saturday, it's the circus that surrounds it, right? That's fine, that's a compliment.
Yep.
Because the circus has got a wee bit of interest.
Yeah.
So for me, somebody on the outside, this is what you want. You want to be the scalp.
Yeah, of course.
Even more determined to when they come to your ground or you go to their ground and they think, we'll turn them over the day. See when it goes the other way and you turn them over, they go away disappointed. And that's what happened Saturday with Spartans. They went away home really disappointed Saturday.
Yeah.
They'll come back, they'll try again. They got a good result last night. And Cowden and Beast will be the same.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're not worried about what's going on round about it. It's about getting 3 points on a Saturday or a Tuesday night and go forward. And so
it does annoy me though when people say that, but I shouldn't even think about it at all. But if they actually come and watch the training and see the boys, the stuff about the whole day and the work they're doing, that is really different about it. It's couldn't be more professional if you tried.
Yeah.
You think you're talking on the park pole, and that's what's happening.
Yep.
The talking is the good passing, good moving, good goals. Yeah. 5 goals in 2 games. It's a good start.
You've played a team who finished fourth and a team that's came down for League Two as well.
Yeah,
so you've not played any mugs exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And you've scored five goals and conceded one. It's not a bad start.
Have you found the adjustment? You were talking before this, mate, about adjusting to training in the evenings. Now, it's obviously something that probably folk wouldn't think about. Is that adjustment that you've had?
Yeah, it's been difficult. I'm not going to lie. Games take care of themselves because you prepare during the day for that. But training wise, I'm used to getting up and going straight to training, and the body's adapting because it's saying, well, what's going on? Why are you not training?
Yeah.
And because you're waiting to 8 o'clock at night to train. But that'll come over the weeks. And as I say, the training's hard. It's not as if I could do a wee bit and then come, because training's intense and it's proper up there. So, so if I come tired, I'm going to look like a dick, to be honest.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, what about your first night when you turned up and there was no kit ready for your towel? I was still in there. It was, it was just after we were being kit. So I had to walk back in and go, just get your kit. And he was like, there isn't any kit.
So that was one of the things as well when I met Si, and I'm like, look, Si, is this proper? He's like, no, this will be professional. Yeah. Proper with the Evan, right? I was like, right, okay, as long as it's professional, because I don't like looking into a fucking shit show. And he's like, no, no, no. And then when you meet Si and he's proper on it, and then I come in the first night, he's come up to me, I went in, right, where's my kit?
I just stared at you then.
We just locked around, aye, there's nane. You're straight on the phone, phoning somebody.
The boy was meant to be there early, but it was a mix up or whatever. But of course, it had to be me, he just keeps staring at you. Don't know what to do with it.
What just teasing problems, out. Just teasing.
Did he think you were the kit man when you came in that first time?
I'd be better laughing.
We spoke about the kind of scrapping and the guy going for you in the game. What's at that level? We'll see. You'll probably see a bit of scrapping as well, though. That's one of the appeals, probably, that a lot of folk will want to go along and see that.
We've seen that on Saturday. The first tackle was some 50-50. I don't mind that side of the game. If you've watched me over the years, it's probably. So it's me getting into a fight, a battle. Right,
exactly. What's the worst or the biggest you've seen on the pitch?
The biggest fight? Aye. Oh, God, good question. Probably like a full team rammy, aye? Aye. So it would probably Celtic Rangers, wouldn't it? When
aye, is that them? Coyston Lennie?
Aye.
Oh, jeez, of course.
Davey, obviously, Gary Caldwell with a throat as well, and magic when you go off after the ref sent him.
Davey Weir. Davey Weir had Gary Caldwell.
Aye, the throat, aye. And Magic gets sent off, and they win the graph, and then there was like a rammy after
that's
it. So that would probably be the biggest. And
that's a big one.
And then you'd politicians talking about it as well. So.
Well, that was it. That was people were going to be saying they were going to get arrested. Not at that time, if it happened again. Mm-hmm.
Surprised if it Davey be there. Davey comes across as the big gentle giant, doesn't he?
Well, think amount of players that go into a pitch and it just flips. Oh, that was Peasy. That was we called him Peasy. That was Davey. That's what he was like. We went on to that pitch and he flipped. Same with Andy Mullen I played with. Nicest guy off it.
Oh my
we went
God.
On to that pitch. Wow.
Yeah.
Andy Mullen's, I think, in all my time of football, when he goes, he fucking goes.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody go the way Andy Mullen goes.
What your experiences with Mullen?
No, he was an unbelievable guy, but I'd only seen him as the coach. He's Kevin Brother said, he's the nicest guy ever. So when people said to me he was an animal on the pitch, I just couldn't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
You get to know him. He's got a wee switch in there.
Oh, aye.
A lot do, don't they? Like, there are different people on the
pitch. No, but this...
There's people that
this
can
was serious,
go... people that can get angry, and then there's the point where Andy Mullen could possibly, like, go to jail for murder. That's kind of... But,
aye. Some of the tackles, even if you go in and Google some of the pictures in his name...
Aye. But joking aside, in terms of a person, one of the best.
Aye. What about some of the names you've worked with in your career? Obviously, like, say, Evans and Warnock. What were they like as managers? Aye, here we go.
Characters. I'll start with Neil. Neil was brilliant with me. He came into the club and made me captain straight away. But then he would pull me before a game and he'd be like, right, boys are a wee bit low today. I'm going to come for you in the team talk. I'm like, what do you mean? You're getting a bit right, just so I lift the spirits up with the boys. So we're playing Burnley away, doing the team talk after pre-match, and he's like, right, they've got the big boy up front and the wee fast striker. If Brothers is left one and one, we're fucked, boys. I'm sitting there. We're playing them in an hour and a half here, and I'm your captain, and you're giving me some. And the boys are all pissing themselves, relaxed and all of that. And then we're walking on the bus and say, I told you. That would relax them. Give them the punt 2-0. But no, what a guy, brilliant. You would win, beat Reading away, 1-0, Tuesday night. Right, boys, see you Friday. I'm going home for a swim in my swimming pool and take my Aston Martin a wee drive. See you Friday. Brilliant guy, but great coach.
Yeah.
Oh, the way he set the team up on the Friday, how he beat. There was a guy who had a way of playing, and it worked. So it was like, we had big Greg Halford would come halfway line. Two centre backs would go up for a long throw into
Greg
the box.
Could throw half it, or he could throw a ball.
Aye, so he get some moves off it though, Greg.
Could he? Did you ever see him losing it to somebody?
Oh, aye.
Any real bad ones?
So we get beat 1-0. I think it was Birmingham away. And at this point, we were maybe 3 points in the relegation. He's sitting ball and he foot up and thing, going, "What fucking chance have you got, lads? What the fuck am I doing here? My reputation's annoying. We're fucked. We're playing the top six next." So yeah, and fair enough, we went in the 9 game and beat all the top six.
Was he naked in the team talk then?
So superstitious. don't wash my tracksuit. We've not been beat.
Oh, must be fucking.
I swear to God.
Will you have any wee superstitious things, Slaney, on the boys are on a run? Will you do things the same from game to game?
No, I did actually.
Forgot to brush teeth
for 2 weeks. I've really seen knickers.
Same knickers?
What ones? Yours are the...
Same knickers, are
the farm food ones?
I've really seen pants, and then I'll always... Because last night there was no need for the Puma Kings table and that pitch was solid. And I ended up, the full game, mate, I was standing on concrete. Because the way it worked was, side technically, there was
the grass. Puma Kings.
So I've wearing my football boots, but I was standing on concrete the full 90 minutes. So there's no need for them, but I'll no take them off. Your own move for the season.
Till we get beat.
Till we get beat. What you hate? Seriously, right, it's in the back of my head. What do you hate with me as a coach so far?
It's been limited. Let's not be a bit. You're good at knowing the time, ain't it? Oh, all you hear is like, Slaney, what's the time?
2 minutes to go. That's it. All what we've got on.
How long they go inside?
See, with the. I did come up to you though, didn't I? I asked him about. Because I think, do you know what? A lot of coaches go in there and they've got that arrogance of, oh, I know I'm going to lose what you do, but I don't. So I went up to you, didn't I? And asked you what's. Well, I ask you exactly, tell me everything to do.
It's because you're a winger as well, and I'm a defender, and you're taking the defence for the warm up, and he's like, what will I do with you?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
I'm like, just get us in a back four, put it up, make sure one attacks and three get round. It's simple stuff.
That's how we work it though, do you know what I mean? We're all in it together.
You did the keep ball bit and all that.
Aye.
You're doing what you can and you'll grow into it.
I said that to Si, obviously Si delivers the session stuff, but it's not enough for me just to sort of, I need to be there.
Si has
the full confidence in me to do that, and at the moment I've no gave him that for him to feel that.
But that'll come, won't it?
And the manager who I worked under, and you were player with Barry Ferguson. Do you still speak to him or?
No, as much now, but I used to speak to him a lot because we travelled together and lived a lot. But Fergie was intense. There's no getting away from it. Some of the shouts that used to come out of his mouth, you're a wee bit like, oh, that's touching bone there a wee bit, but...
It's just, as a manager or a teammate or both?
Both. Aye. Both. If you couldn't handle Fergie, then you couldn't play with Rangers or Blackpool. And then when he came to as a manager, it was just the same.
See, when you went into Rangers though, were you... And he, did he go into you right away?
Oh, aye.
Did he?
First day.
How did you deal with that?
Went back him.
Did you?
Aye.
Did he appreciate that, like you going back a bit? Is that what he looks for from the teammate?
I'm not sure, to be honest, but I went and spoke to him after and just said, look, I'm not being disrespectful, but I'm not meaning to make mistakes. I don't need you to tell me I'm a fucking cunt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's a good point, because a lesser person or somebody with nothing about him would just sit there and take it. And maybe career could go the other way because they think they're inferior to where they actually are, whereas he's went and questioned I would imagine Fergie would have been the captain. He's got the question, the captain said, look, I'm not mean to make mistakes here. Yep. Fergie probably actually thought, fucking hell, he's got something about him. Probably had a different light on Cut for that reason. And sometimes, like Paul, you've talked about it openly in the past, where if things weren't going well, you'd maybe shy away from things. Yeah. Well, there's the other example of no shying away, going and actually having a conversation, letting them know. And like I say, you end up, how long did you end up spending Rangers after that?
5 years.
5 years, there you go.
Until
it could have been 5 months, Harry Moore stood up for himself and believed in what he was.
I was always a believer of, I don't care if you make 9 mistakes out of 10.
Yep.
I would rather have a player that does that than a player that makes 1 mistake and then hides for the rest of the game and doesn't get stick because he's no made mistakes. You would rather somebody that makes mistakes and takes the stick and says, who cares, that's part of football.
Is there a big difference in him though as a captain in the dressing room to being a manager, did you find?
A wee bit, aye, because obviously we travelled for pretty much a season, lived in a flat together. Then he becomes a manager of Blackpool, moves out the flat, doesn't say morning to you, because he had...
It's crazy that, isn't
it? Well, I asked him about it and he said, oh, I just had to let you know I was the boss, which is the way he did it, and that was fine, but I asked him and I said I was a wee bit disappointed with that relationship, and then... But in terms of a player, Fergie was up there with one of the best I'd played with.
Was he?
Aye.
He's got to be, didn't he?
Aye.
That's what I always thought when I've talked about the past in the podcast about playing with Scotland and felt that same way you did. But now, having spoken to him on the podcast after finishing football, I understand that the guy just had standards and just wanted to win. So I get that. He's a lot more mellow now. But at that time, it was a fucking skate. And you obviously had him slain as your manager, do you know what I mean? You felt that probably same presence as a manager. When he would have a go at you one day for maybe no performing or no doing the things he asked you to do.
See, when I went in it, to be fair, the training was brilliant, the intensity was brilliant, but I think it was that other side, the man management side of when maybe things don't go so well.
Aye, maybe to come and speak to you, have a wee arm round you.
Maybe something like that, the boys didn't really react well, but
listen,
management's very hard, isn't it?
But that's
different. What about Si, is it as a manager with that side of things? Is there wee tricks or differences that you've noticed in Si since he's took over?
He's intense, but I don't want to say it, I'm scared and say a certain thing here.
Don't look at me.
I just wonder if, like, you know, as a manager, if he will, like, turn to you as a coach and be like, look, this part of it, I want you to take, obviously.
Definitely I think that because he is very intense, that it would, but I think the most important, when training's going on, I think it's good for a manager sometimes to take that step back and you can see everything. Sometimes when you're delivering a drill, you're in there delivering it, you're so almost concentrating on the drill itself, seeing how it's going or whatever it is, but when you take that step, you can actually see the whole picture. There's maybe wheel going in and do that, and I think that's what Si said, that'll eventually happen. When he delivers it, the level's just go right through the roof.
Absolutely.
He's brilliant at what he does. He's not getting away with it.
Yeah.
And as you say, he's intense. And even at the weekend, I seen a different side to him at half-time.
Yeah.
Like, that angry side. Yeah. He's kind of what, well, good cop, bad cop. But not saying Si's a bad cop, but at the weekend when he got a new go round and say, doing well, keep playing. But Si doesn't mind you making mistakes.
No. That's it.
Do you know what I mean? He'll get more angry if you don't show for the ball because you've made a mistake rather than making the mistake. That's what I like, because there's managers that will just, like I've played with, when you make that mistake, they're like, what the fuck are you doing? What am I doing wrong? Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Si will tell you what you've done wrong. You've no moved there. You've no played that pass there. You know what I mean? There's managers that just shout crap, to be honest.
Just to take it.
Sometimes like the sound of their own voice, where they actually shout the right information and let players know, right, okay, I didn't move to the side of the body, or next time I do that, I'll move to the side. So I want to ask a question. When you worked with Fergie, I'd imagine Fergie was a young manager at Blackpool.
That was his first job.
So Simon's a young manager. Can you see different comparisons in terms of the two different types of people? First and foremost, do you think Simon has the attributes to go on and be successful as a manager? Obviously, we're only about 3-4 weeks into the season. You've obviously talked impressively of him so far. We have worked with him for the last 4 or 5 years in this podcast. I see his dedication towards football and the great detail he puts into certain things. So he has got a burning ambition to be very, very good at it. What's the early signs like?
Well, what I've seen so far, he can go where he wants, and he's got the work ethic as well. Whereas, even though it's part-time, I bet you it's 24-7 for Si now.
Yeah.
It'll be constant on his mind, no sleeping, watching videos. Well, I'm probably getting more videos now.
Than you ever did?
Aye. Really? Si sending videos through constantly. And you're like, where's he getting the time for this? Because it's individual clips and team clips. It's, so that takes hours.
Of course it does, yeah.
It's not just a case of watching the game and turning around and saying, aye, you should have done this, you should have done that. He's showing you and then talking you through it individually, each player.
Brilliant, eh?
So,
see that there, that part of football, I coach a group of kids that are 8 years old and they make mistakes. And I would love to be able to show them back on a TV screen, look, this is what you did, this is what you could have done. It's all right me going and doing it on the training session, but to actually show them where to get that information that yous are getting, it's so valuable.
Yeah, 100%. And what I've found as I've got older and more video analysis come in, you think the game's bad, and then you go and watch it back, and it's not as bad as what you think.
Yep.
So you're sometimes better no saying too much until you've watched it back.
Yes.
And then, because then you can look like a dick, really, because you've said something, and you're like, watched it back, and you're like, no, you didn't do that, actually. Whereas you're only seeing it for that split second at the side of the pitch, whereas Kev might see it better, being higher, looking down.
Well, you spoke about that, didn't you?
Well, that's what I say. He obviously, like Staney picked up on it this morning, like he asked, first half, I thought we were poor, for Saturday. Second half for 20 minutes we were better, but then there was a part maybe 15 minutes in the middle of the second half they bombarded us, and in the last kind of 10-15 minutes controlled the game and saw it out. But Slaney said Hassai's watched it back and wasn't happy with the full 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So in a way I can see, but there's parts of it that were good, but it's just different eyes on it all the time. Different levels. Si's down there, I'm up there. Slaney, you're sitting further a bit back, looking from a different thing. And sometimes when you watch a game,
but I'm still sitting in the changing room.
No, but sometimes when you watch a game, even whoever's got the ball and is making the passes, sometimes you don't always need to watch them.
Yeah.
Watch where your other guys are moving. Who's moving off the ball? Who's making the angles? Who's screaming? Who's shouting for it? Who's encouraging? There's all these different aspects that, I want to be a coach. I want a manager. I spoke to Kurt before, and he would love to get into it and stuff. But like you say, where do you get the time to sit down and watch another 90 minutes you've already seen, and then contact somebody to say, could you take out clip 13 minute to the 15th and a half minute, put it in the condenser in a clip, send it to your boy and explain to him, write down some things and say, look, right, Conroy, you were coming too deep Saturday, when they're getting on the ball enough. Like, where do you find the time to do that? But that's what all modern day coaches are doing now. They're doing this.
And then prepare for another game.
Back in the day, you first started football, I first started football, the manager would leave the same time as you did at training ground.
Pretty much.
It's only later on in the career, you now see managers leaving at 4 or 5 o'clock because that's so probably what they're doing.
Of course. Yeah, I want to talk about Paul Lince at Blackpool. What was he like? How did you get on with him?
I thought he was very good.
Aye.
In terms of coach, in terms of just wee bits of a game, he would bring you up. Well, you look at the level he played at.
Exactly.
And he had that arrogance about him that he wanted you to have, which I really liked. I thought he was brilliant and he was good with the Scottish boys down there. So he was. Yeah. He liked us because we were at it every day.
Yeah.
And he didn't like slackers. So I thought Paul Ince was a top coach, and you can see he's still.
Right. Of course.
Coaching at Reading at the top level in the Championship, so I thought he was brilliant.
What about the group, obviously, at Broomhill? Can I go into you for a bit of advice, talk to you with the experience that you've got, any of the younger lads? So
a couple
far?
Have come up. I don't know if they're a wee bit shy or intimidated a wee bit yet. As I say, I've only been there 2 weeks. They're figuring me out, I'm figuring them out. Like, it's hard because I probably went in there, they've got a stereotype of me. Whereas I'm just a normal guy that plays football but wants to win and trains his nuts off every time I do it.
Of course.
So once that settles down and they see me, then they maybe come. But they don't even need to ask. They just see what I'm doing. Like the gym.
Learn from it.
Pre-act, before games. These wee things will take you to the next level if you want to be a full-time footballer.
I'm assuming that was one of the things that Si said to you when he was bringing you in. Like, obviously bringing in someone with that experience, leaning into that, which is massive, isn't it? For
that's what because when they cross that line on the Saturday, it's then up to the players then. And then you being on that pitch is almost like a coach on the pitch as well.
Of course.
Which will help them, the boys out.
Yeah. Definitely. I've made a career of helping people during the pitch.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
Listen, getting caught
in the
open goal in this first
season's
a coup.
Oh, absolutely. You saw the reaction, didn't you?
Because, like Slaney says, it's all right putting boys that have played league football in a team together, yeah, other younger kids, but to have somebody that can help guide them on the park, that's huge.
Yeah.
It has to be huge.
Of course it does, yeah. We've spoken about managers and assistant coaches that you've got with Slaney. Talk about the likes of McCoist and these guys that you've worked with. How do they compare to what you're working with?
Is there a resemblance that you
see
to?
Well, he's probably got more goals than you've got games.
Fucking 100%. What was Coist like? Was he...
So obviously I had Coisty as an assistant and a manager because he turned over. Coisty was brilliant because he came into training at St Mirren when I was there as well. Right. And I think that's what helped me get the move to Rangers. And he's seen how I trained every day. But it was obviously brilliant with me. At that time though, Coisty only done a little. It was more Kenny McDowell that took it and obviously Walter overseeing everything.
Yeah.
But Coisty used to still train and you could see he was still had it. We used to call him the Rhino. So he just battered people out the way and finish it, honestly.
Did he put the sessions on?
Well, it was all set up when we went out, so I would think it would be him and
Kenny.
Yeah. So it would. But, no, a great guy, great person, but had a ruthless side to him.
Did he?
Oh, aye.
I might need to get that.
Well, I was going to ask you, because like we spoke to Si last week in the podcast about if he's had a chat with some managers he's worked with just to get little tips on the way on this journey to becoming a manager. What about you as a coach?
No, nobody's helped me at all.
But will you need to...
What I want to do is go out and watch teams,
exactly.
Do you know what I mean? And watch how they do it and watch... It's merely the sizes of things and the rotations and all that side of stuff. That's up to me to go out there and actually go and watch that. Because like, people can show you a bit of paper or somebody can do it or whatever.
It's not the same.
I can't take it in. Somebody tells me, do this. Doesn't register my brain, so I need to go in about that.
So you're a visual learner?
Aye.
Really, instead of somebody telling you?
Yeah. No, 100%, I must be a visual learner, as the big man said, so I'll be in about the clubs and...
Watching
it.
I said to Paul, because I've been going around a few clubs trying to pick up ideas.
And I don't want to go with you, I don't.
You do.
I don't.
And, so he'll be coming with me, and I can see why he's like that, because I'm a bit like him, where you can write something down a piece of paper and pretend to move bits of... draw lines and stuff, but see when you actually see it and you think, I could maybe do it this way. But no, that's a thing that'll come in time, Paul.
Did you ever see McCoy's going through a boy?
Oh.
Any individual player? Can you give his name now? Would you do that?
Oh. Aye, I seen him go through Charlie Adam. At Celtic Park, yeah.
Was he?
Aye. What was that like?
Was it that game?
That was a different game. That was a game where you beat them 4-2. The ball got just through the dugout and Charlie smashed it into the Celtic dugout and it just missed Gordon Stratton but inches and it went in at half time and Coisty was like, what'd you do that for? Charlie's like, what do you mean? And he was like, what the fuck did you do that for? He's like, oh, just kicked it in the dugout. Well, don't do it, we don't do that here, don't be disrespectful, you could have took that manager's head off.
Wow.
So he had that respect and that. And
how did Charlie Adam react to that when he gets
that?
Can't say much, can you?
No, of course he was right in his face. But at that time, Charlie was young, but Charlie's matured an awful lot. So it was daft Charlie back then. So he was.
That's a lot of respect.
Yeah.
That's unreal,
isn't it? Aye, 100%.
That's amazing. That's a good
That's what it was all about. Coisty and Walter, it was all about respect, no matter who you play.
The other game with Lenny McCoy, did McCoy ever tell you what was said?
Nah, not really. I'm not actually sure what actually happened.
But I don't think anybody will ever find out what was actually said. It probably was fucking.
But I do know one thing. Coisty's a hardy. He can handle himself.
Can he?
Oh, aye.
Might need to get that.
I don't mess
with
the rival.
You will.
Fucking start that.
Solid, that's when you shake,
Shane,
that.
Yeah. I can imagine. What was it like, actually, during that spell with Rangers at you know, third division, stuff like that, coming back up, playing at these sorts of grounds with a club? Like,
well, I only played four games.
Did you
only
play four games?
Yeah. I went to Blackpool when we went into Division 3.
Yeah.
My 5 years at Rangers was amazing. Like, I went for St Mirren.
Yep.
We just stayed up. Went in first season, the UEFA Cup final. Get beaten the last day for the league, won the two cups. So I went from one to the other, and then the next three seasons we won the league 3 in a row.
Yep.
We were 15 points clear, and then went into administration and lost that league. So it was eventful.
Crazy
to say
time,
that.
Absolutely. And so four games you played then at that level, and then you left.
Then I left. Aye, yeah. Like, I spoke to Coyste, who was the manager at that time. Yeah. Probably kind of get Rangers at the unluckiest time, really. And he said, like, you just got to try and play at the highest level you can because it's a short career. And that was one of the stumbling blocks of coming here. But then when you took everything into the picture, like, I explained to you, like, why go and just sit at my table team if it was disrespectful. So that's why I went down to the Championship at Blackpool.
Yep.
And I loved it in England.
See, in England, see, that time, did Rangers try to keep a hold of you? Because obviously I know for me going there, that some players were still getting paid a handsome salary. Would that, or were they just hell bent on getting rid of some of the guys? How? Because obviously Jig stayed, Neil Alexander stayed.
Lee Wallace.
De Boyer stayed for a wee while, Lee Wallace stayed for a wee while, and then the rest was all kind of new. Surely yourself, the experience you would have had at that point, you could have possibly stayed and helped guide the team back.
No, definitely.
Circumstance.
I always wanted to try England. Like, yeah. I had that in the back of my mind. Yeah. And it was, as you say, I was on a good wage at the time to be playing third division in Scotland, if it'd been disrespectful. And I had a chance to go down to England at Blackpool, who at that point it was middle of August, we were 5 points clear at the top of Championship, and I just jumped at it, to be honest, and I went.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why.
Championship
is a great league. It's constant Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday. It's just.
Like you say, it's a short career as well, though. Like, when the opportunities like this, you don't know when they can next come around.
So, and I was only, 27 at the time, so I was just.
Prime, really.
Like, yeah, just starting.
You spoke about this last week, Kev, like some of the lads that Sian Slaney are working with and Kurt's training with. Young lads that could go back up again and kind of kick into that level. That's a big pull as well.
That's
what
we ask. See the boy Grant at right back. What kind of age is he?
21.
Right, so there you go. Saturday he was brilliant.
Yeah.
Last night, by all accounts, was very good again. The boy Simple scored last week. He didn't do a lot in the game, right?
No.
But see what he did do in the game, it was effective. Mm-hmm. And that, there's an art and a skill to that. That's somebody who's got this up here. And for me, I think that whatever's happened to him at Motherwell and leaving Motherwell, somewhere along the line he's lost his way in football. But I think it's a massive opportunity for him and the other boys like Grant and maybe even Gary Fraser to a point. Like, there's no reason why they can stay and join the journey if it goes well. But if they really push themselves to the levels they feel they can get to, the only way is up for the guys. They've really got to believe that. He's working with them day in, day out. And you'd probably say the same, like,
100%.
Simple's got unbelievable touches around his feet.
There's loads of players there, but what I try and tell to them, it's not about having a great touch or megging somebody.
Yeah.
It's about being consistent and disciplined every day to do the same, to come in, work hard, make sure your body's ready, repair, recover, go again. Because it's okay doing it one game and then no seeing you for another four.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's fine. You might get lucky and somebody's there and they see you in that one game, you might get moved. But see, if you're doing it, most big teams will watch you over a few games. If you're doing it week in, week out, somebody will come and take you.
They're
not going to ask for crazy money.
See,
here,
the likes
of
Simple's position, in any league from Scotland, say, second, first championship, see, a good striker, they all do the same things. And see, the likes of Simple there, if he was to go into, say, a Queen's Park or a Cove Rangers who'd be quite maybe be doing well in the Championship, possibly with a bit better quality around him, he could kick
excel.
But you have to believe that can happen.
Aye.
Whereas if you're just happy playing in the lower leagues of football, that's where you'll stay.
Aye.
You have to aspire to get somewhere.
Yep.
And, like, listen, Boomhill, open goal, why keep our best players? There's no, that nobody wants to let anybody go.
Yep.
But you're young and you're hungry, and Simon says the same. You do well for me, we'll look after you, and that's what happens.
Well, it fits in with the aspirations of the club, doesn't it? Like, to drive and improve and go up. Aye, exactly.
But no, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, you've not spoken about it. Did you play with Andy Hardy?
Aye, Andy. I put Andy at Blackpool. What a guy.
Legend, isn't he?
I don't like to bum him up too much, but what a guy. What a guy. Brilliant guy.
What about him, mate, in particular, without bumming him up too much?
As a player or as a person?
Both. As a player.
Andy, he was another one at it all the time.
Yeah.
Could play any position in the pitch, which I think teams need.
Totally.
Probably didn't get the credit he was due, because he was left back, centre mid, left wing, could play anywhere and would do a job and give it all. But as a player, he was up there for me and I travelled with him for a wee while. He can drink, by the way.
He can sit away, can he?
And just sit there normal.
Is because the age he's getting now, he's obviously taking care of his fat going on.
I thought it was maybe under the thumb.
Yeah, engaged there, of course.
Was that as well? Yeah. That's
what he's told, Paul. No, he's not saying he's fucking. Yeah, he's getting. By the way, he's got one of the mentalities, what you're saying is, if he gives the ball away, he goes again, doesn't he?
Aye, Andy doesn't care what people say about him.
What people say about him.
He'll give the ball away 10 times and take it at 11th. And even if he's getting that big groan.
I've
had that many a time.
Lads, we've got a bit of a who knows wins pick 10 challenge that's to do here. We spoke about it at the start of the podcast, but we're going to run through 10 games and just got to pick a winner from each one. We'll just crack on, aye? You want a pen, do you?
Aye, because I want to note this down to see who gets most between me and Slaney.
Right, start it off then. Cup, you can kick us off, mate, with your former club, Livy Rangers.
Rangers all day of the week.
Rangers.
That's a bit of a clean sweep there. Cardiff City, Norwich City, lads. Start off with you, Kev.
I'm going for Norwich City.
Norwich
as well. Norwich.
No divisive opinions here, lads. Hearts, Ross County.
Back Hearts. To you,
Hearts.
Hearts as well.
Kelly, Dundee United, Kev.
This is a tough one because Kamalic's obviously just back in the league. They've made a few signings, but Dundee United, like Serena said the other day, big Fletch up front, Charlie.
I know.
But then Kamalic's at home. I'm going to go Dundee United. I don't know how to say that, but Dundee United.
United.
You going to go for your former club?
Well, depends if Big Laugh's fit.
Aye,
it's a big player for him. Can you say draw?
I guess you can. Aye. Sure you can. Draw it is. Nice. St Johnston, Hibs, Kirk, kick us off, mate.
Two of them's no started well this year, to be fair. I'm going to go Hibs.
Yep.
Hibs.
St Johnston.
Oh. Okay, alright. Liverpool, Man City.
Oof. Is that the Charity Shield?
Man City.
Man City.
There we go. Middlesbrough, West Brom. Slaney, you start this one.
That's a no-brainer.
That's a West Brom all day long.
That's a Middlesbrough.
Is it?
I'm telling you, because I think they've got now got Wilder.
They
ended the season very strong, and I think they'll be a force this
Middlesbrough.
Year. I think they could have a chance.
Kirk?
I don't know, Brucey's there, isn't he? I need to back my mate Brucey, West Brom.
Good man.
Next to you, Bruce?
Alex.
Alex Bruce?
Alex Bruce, aye. Of course. Sunderland, Coventry.
Right, yes. Sunderland's not had the best pre-season at all.
You keep tabs on things, isn't
it? Aye, drew with Hartlepool the all-night 1-1, disappointing. No got in bodies yet. Transfer market slow. Coventry's been there. I would absolutely hate to say Coventry, right, but I'm going to hate to say Sunderland. Even though I think Coventry are in.
Slaney.
Sunderland.
Draw.
Good man. St Mirren, Motherwell.
Oh,
interesting this.
Motherwell.
St Mirren.
Draw.
Okay. And finish off, Celtic Aberdeen, Kev.
Celtic.
There we go. And remember to take part, guys, because who knows wins, putting 10 grand up there. So.
And then the big man will be back. You'll be back on the, keeping the ball on the ground with Andy, Si, and we'll get the
deals. You'll get you'll get the real dirt out.
Aye.
On Open Goal FC, we're keeping it lower leagues here. As much as we can, but no, it was brilliant having you on, Kirk.
Super.
Slaney, Kev, as always.
Cheers,
lads. Cheers.
Thanks, boys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.